I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Would you like to learn how you can increase revenue by 100% or more in a solopreneur business? Join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Seth Khan. Seth is widely recognized as being on the forefront of visionary leadership and a trusted advisor to over 100 CEOs. Seth is a sought-after business strategy specialist, a respected thought leader and convener on grand challenges, and the author of the business bestsellers Get Change Right and Get Innovation Right. His next book, Grand Challenge, How Leaders Grow Their Businesses by Addressing the World's Most Intractable Problems, a collaboration with Julie Jordan Averett, will be available soon. Seth, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for having
me. My pleasure. So, Seth, what is visionary leadership?
Well, visionary leadership is about leading in a way that you contribute to the world. And there's three elements to it. But the key aspect to understand is that this is for leaders who want to make a difference in the world. So if their focus is totally on running a tight ship or making a profit, and they're really not caring about, you know, the impact that they're having on terms of social justice or the global environment or people overseas, then this is not for them. This is for people who've made a commitment to make a contribution. And the three elements, I'll just tick through them real quickly, of what makes a great visionary leader. One is self-transformation, the willingness to increase your capacity by giving yourself the experiences and the information that you need to change yourself so that you can do more, better, faster. Second is change leadership, understanding what it means to lead in a networked world, which is very different than it was to lead before we had a networked world. And the last is strategic foresight, which is developing the skill of looking into the future and identifying emerging trends that can be exploited.
You know, it's fascinating to me how the first one is self-transformation, that the self is so intertwined with what happens on the organizational level.
Absolutely. My view is that you, your mind, your body, your being is your instrument. It's the way that you apprehend the world. So you're taking in information, you know, through your eyes, through your, literally through all five senses, as well as putting it together with your brain. And it's also how you influence the world. It's what you say. It's how you say it. It's, you know, it's how you move. And so your being is your ultimate instrument. So anybody who wants to have great impact on the world makes a commitment to transform that being so that they build the capabilities that take them beyond where they are today.
Now, I understand why it makes sense from a view of someone wanting to really do something good in the world to be a visionary leader, right? You're trying to contribute something and leave the world a better place than it was when you entered. From a business perspective, why should everyone think about becoming a visionary leader if you're in a leadership role?
Well, what we're seeing is that, first of all, doing social good is no longer a perk for an organization. It's a requirement as far as the customer is concerned. So if you are involved in customer relationships, then people are going to be weeding out who they choose to do business with based on who's contributing to the world. But secondly, there's a larger dynamic in place here. I mean, we live in a world where we have systems inside of systems inside of systems, like you have people inside of organizations, inside of markets, for example. And if you are behaving in a way that is, quote, greedy, in other words, you're just trying to fill your own coffers at the expense of other people, the larger system will only tolerate that so far. And if you want to actually be able to leverage the power of the larger system, you have to be contributing to it. And that's what we're talking about here.
Now, Seth, I know from the introduction that I read to open the show that you have quite a track record of accomplishing the fine work with your clients. What's an example of an organization that took on this challenge of trying to be led by somebody who accepts this mantra of visionary leadership, and what results happened?
Well, there's a few that I'm working with now, so let me just pick one. I will pick the Center for Financial Planning, which is an organization that was birthed from the CFP Board of Standards, the certification for financial planners. It's widely recognized that the finance industry is an old white male industry, and they're having trouble attracting talent from women, African Americans, Hispanics, and other minorities. And so the Center for Financial Planning was born specifically to address that. And we've been working with universities to create academic programs that attract PhD students who can do research in the power of financial planning for people who are not considered your normal target audience. In other words, for people who have less than $100,000 of discretionary wealth, sometimes far less. And we're in the early stages. We're about a year and a half in, but we have partnerships with major organizations like TD Ameritrade, Morgan Stanley, as well as organizations like the National Urban League. And so I'm very positive about the results that this group is going to get. They even created a new organization with an executive director, Marilyn Mormon Gillis, who's a fantastic leader.
Wow, great example. Now, Seth, how did you get to be an expert on visionary leadership?
Well, it was a combination of a deep desire mixed with life circumstances. I worked at the World Bank for 13 years, and the last 2 years I had the opportunity to work with Jim Wolfensohn while he was president. And of course, the World Bank is about helping, you know, the developing world get up and running in the world economy, as well as making sure that we're taking care of the people in those countries and providing the social needs that they have. So that was a great kind of testing ground for being involved in work that had a positive impact on the world, and I learned a great deal there. And you combine that with a deep desire to make a contribution myself. And I've just been able to, you know, go from one appointment to the next, growing my business and focusing on developing this idea of visionary leadership. And I've gotten a lot of traction.
Well, congratulations. It sounds like a great combination of things led you to where you are now. And you're clearly doing work that is not only important, but has a great impact.
Thank
now,
you.
Seth, let's talk a little bit about what you've gone through as you have created your business and as you have tried to grow your business. What have been some of the successes you've had? And then we'll talk a little bit about the plateaus.
Well, right off the bat, when I left the bank, which was my last, you know, employment, I, of course, did business with the bank almost solely for the first 2 years. And I was able to move to a business that grossed $200,000 a year, but I really couldn't get beyond that. With the help of a mentor, Alan Weiss, who was significant in changing my mindset, I was able to grow that to a $500,000 business. I was able to break through that plateau. And then in recent years, by working with some close colleagues, I was able to smash that plateau, and now I'm up to about $800,000. So that's kind of and that's going since 2002. So that's the last 15 years.
Wow. And how did it feel when you were at those plateaus and your business didn't seem to be achieving the kind of growth that you wanted?
Oh, it was extraordinarily frustrating. I mean, when I was at 200,000, I mean, I live in Washington, D.C. I'm the sole breadwinner. That's kind of like starting salary for existing in this kind of city. And I just couldn't, it seemed like I was maxed out. I was working as many days as I could. And, you know, it was like banging my head against a wall. But then I was working with Alan, and the techniques that he provided and the community of consultants that he leads really gave me a lot of material to work with. And so it was kind of a consistent, steady haul to move myself up beyond that 200. And when I got to the 500, there were 3 years where felt like nothing I could do could get me beyond it. I was really stuck.
Yeah. And how did you end up getting connected with Alan?
I did a lot of research on the web. I knew I was leaving a regular job and I had a family to support, and I wanted somebody who could help me cut the curve and get up and running as fast as possible. I asked him and other people for a ton of referrals. I talked to all of the referrals. It was a long research project, and it became clear that he was the guy for the job. And to be honest, I probably didn't need to do that much research, because as soon as I started working with him, I got instant results. It was profound how he pushed me up and beyond.
Sounds great. Do you see connections between what you've tried to do for yourself in your business and the kind of visionary leadership that you help companies create?
There's some, but I'm a solopreneur, so I operate a very specific kind of business, and I have a target audience. I know who they are. I'm very focused on what it takes to create value for them that justifies, the fees that I charge. And most of my clients are running, the smallest are running $2 million companies, but I work with clients that are running $500 million companies, and helping them to change in ways that justify the investment that they make in me is really a different ballgame than it is in terms of growing my own business.
And what are some of the things that you implemented that were game changers?
Well, I shared with you about the Center for Financial Planning. I also worked with Royal Dutch Shell, was a leader on a $20 million change initiative that involved putting technology down underground in oil and gas fields in the Americas. That was a game changer for them, and it required a lot of transformation. I worked on three global change initiatives with the Peace Corps under Director Gaddy Vasquez, who was the first Hispanic director of the Peace Corps. They were all game changers. He was a transformational leader. Worked with the American Nurses Association on Healthy Nurse, Healthy Nation, which just launched this year. Nurses in every category except for smoking are worse off than the average American, and now there's a national initiative that's designed to address that. Those are some examples.
Those are great. And how long does it typically take to see the kinds of results that you've just described?
It's usually about a year in the planning. And then the first year is a lot of foundational work. So you don't see a lot of results. It's kind of like climbing an exponential curve. In the beginning, it feels very flat. But then by the time we get to year two, in terms of implementation, you start to, hit the knee of the curve. And then, during that year and the subsequent year is when you really start to see acceleration. Mm.
So how long are your engagements typically, start to finish?
Well, they have my engagements often follow kind of a bell curve in terms of my client's investment in me. So initially, it could be very small. It could be some conversations, a little bit of research, maybe a board meeting. Once the decision is made to go for a grand challenge, then it goes way up because then I'm involved with them deeply. And so we're, convening thought leaders. We're meeting with the board of directors. We're planning. We're strategizing. And then the launch, oftentimes I'm involved deeply because I've gone through a lot of launches. So I'm used to a lot of the bottlenecks and obstacles and log jams that can happen. But then once the organization has adopted it and there's staff on board, I start to drop way down and I can do a little bit for a while just to kind of stay involved and help people keep their eye on the ball. And then I try and fade out while they go on to do their good work.
But typically it sounds like it's a few years.
Yeah, I would say a couple of years for the whole thing, probably on average, maybe sometimes a little bit longer.
Sounds great. Seth, what triggered you to write the book that's about to come out?
I want to provide a handbook because I would like anybody who wants to take on a grand challenge, which is a large, bold initiative that's designed to tackle one of the world's toughest problems and turn it into a business opportunity. I would like anybody, including people in the developing world, because they're coming online over the next couple of years. We're going to have another 2-3 billion people on the internet. I would like them to see how these things work. I like to put the tools in their hands. There's a lot of people who can't afford to hire me who have great ideas, and I'm committed to making the world a better place through visionary leaders. So I just want to get – I think of it as a handbook. I want to get it out and into people's hands so they can put it to
work. Are there a few tips that are in the book that you could share on this episode?
Yeah. So, the book is filled with everything I know. It's got interviews with visionary leaders who've been successful. It's got frameworks and models that I use in my work. It's tough stuff to successfully hit an intractable problem. Usually you're doing something that nobody's ever done before. So I try and provide all the tools I can to help them succeed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are some examples of some ways that people can approach an intractable problem?
Well, the first thing is to, in the very beginning, you have to identify it. And so you have to be very clear about what it is that you're going after because it's going to define everything else that you do. And you have to articulate it in a way that it becomes a clear and common objective for many players because you're going to need a consortia, a coalition of organizations and activists to be involved with you. So, for example, healthy nurses. Healthy nurses are a linchpin for our healthcare system. And as a result of that, we were able to involve Harvard Medical School, the U.S. Army, CVS Caremark, because they all understood the value of healthy nurses in their future. And so they were committed to it. So creating this common objective is it's a key element in a successful grand challenge. Mm.
And so it sounds like having a collaborative mindset is really important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you won't get it done otherwise. You have to be able to lead from behind, and you have to accept that other people are going to have different ways of doing things than you would. And as long as you're focused on the same objective, that you support that. Mm,
okay. What are some other elements that are really important?
You have to be a systems thinker. Intractable problems have multiple dimensions. So, for example, there's the dimension of the internal beliefs of the people you're trying to impact. Do they believe that they can make the change? There's the interpersonal conversations that happen with their family and the people they share their day-to-day lives with. There's the mindset that penetrates their particular profession. Is this something that's possible? Is it doable? You need to get buy-in from the places that are the environment. So, like, for example, with the nurses, we have to get buy-in from the hospitals. The work environment has to make changes. And society has to make changes, which means involving the government as well as public advocates.
Yeah, so it sounds like huge cultural shift on all fronts.
Yes, it is. That's a good way to describe
it. We know those are really hard to achieve.
Yes, they are super hard, but it's also necessary because if we don't achieve them, we're all going to die.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, pollution, climate change, the whole ball of wax here. So we got to take these on. So we need people who feel like, you know, ready and able to take them
on. They certainly sound like challenges that need the kind of help you're describing.
Yeah.
You want to share one closing tip from your book?
Yeah, getting change right. The big thing is that for decades, we have been using the wrong model for communication. We've been using a transactional model, which is that I'm sharing information with you and there's noise in the system, and the noise in the system is decides how much of that information you get. It's called the Shannon and Weaver model of communication. It's great for computers and it's horrible for people. People do not work that way. We are meaning-making animals and we go back and forth. It's very messy. There needs to be a lot of validation, verification. It's a much more, and I have a whole section in there on how to have that kind of communication. And that's the kind of communication that's required in order to gather and align people around a common objective.
Wow, that's a really important one. I can tell you from my own experience with organizations of all sizes that communication in today's world is a real challenge because the technology doesn't necessarily support the kind of communication you've just described.
Yeah, you're right.
I hope you're enjoying our show today. Would you like to learn how you can increase revenue by 100% or more in a solopreneur business? We're featuring a bonus episode with today's guest, Seth Kahn, the founder of Visionary Leadership, where Seth shares some of the steps he has taken to quadruple his revenue. Join our free Smashing the Plateau community where you can listen to this bonus episode. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. So now, looking at what some other people have achieved, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Well, Robbie Baxter is one person who definitely comes to mind. Actually, you know, all of those four people that I listed, I've watched them grow over the last few years, and they've done an extraordinary job. Robbie Baxter has written an excellent book that has become an international bestseller, translated into many languages. She went from consulting with Silicon Valley organizations like Netflix and Google to really deep consulting on a global scale. And I brought her to DC, where I live, several times to speak to my clients, and she's been hired by some of them. So I've watched her grow, and she's done an extraordinary
job. Yeah, and a shout out for her book. I've read it. It's a great book.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah, me too. I use her book. In fact, I've got about six of them on my shelf next to my book because I give them out to clients.
And you wanted to mention somebody else, I think.
Yeah, Scott Ettinger. Scott Ettinger is an extraordinary human being. He has been involved in helping CEOs translate their strategy to their sales. And his core idea is that sales is the front line, and you've got to be living strategy on that front line in order for your customers to experience it. And I have watched him get involved with huge private sector organizations and make an extraordinary difference in their ability to translate what it is that their leaders want to do into execution and the realization of customer value. And since I'm not in his space, it's been a real joy for me to learn the intricacies of how that works and see his success.
Those are great examples. Now, Seth, what's coming up in the near future for you? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, I have three books coming up. I've got one that's for my local market. I'm working primarily with associations these days. And so I have a book that's called The Underexplored Core of Association Strategy, which will be ready in the next 3 months. And then Julie Jordan Averett, who you mentioned earlier, and I are working together on Grand Challenge, how leaders turn the world's most intractable problems into opportunities. And that'll come out probably in early 2018. And then after that, I'm working on a book on strategic foresight. What are the methods and tools that people use to see into the future and identify trends that they can exploit? So one of the things that I learned, this comes back to one of those tips, is that I need to produce a lot of intellectual property and content in order to raise my esteem in the market, which is a key factor in what I can charge. And so I have committed myself to producing books. And so, you know, I've got three of them coming out in the next year. So that'll be great.
Yeah. And three is a lot more than most people produce. And frankly, most people don't write any. But even for those people that are producing books, generally, what I've seen and from people that have been on the show, they rarely come out with more than one a year.
Yeah, it was definitely a jump. That's kind of like that thing I was talking about, you know, really expanding what it is that I need to do. When I discovered that my intellectual IP was a primary factor in the rates that I'm able to charge, then I made a commitment. Okay, I'm going to generate a lot. So, you know, off to the races.
Well, congratulations for setting the challenge for yourself and achieving it.
Thank you.
Seth, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Well, they can subscribe to my weekly newsletter, Monday Morning Mojo. You can do that on my website, which is visionaryleadership.com. And I also have a biweekly Visionary Talk video blog that comes out that's got a 3-minute video describing some of my tools and techniques. And it lists along with it all of the events that I have coming up. And they can just write to me directly. I'd love to hear from people, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Seth@visionaryleadership.com.
Sounds great. Well, Seth, thank you so much for coming on Smashing the Plateau today. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you about how you help organizations make a huge impact in the world, and also what you've done for your own business, which has been quite remarkable. Congratulations on everything you've achieved. My guest today has been Seth Kahn, founder of Visionary Leadership. Thank you again, Seth, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. Would you like to learn how you can increase revenue by 100% or more in a solopreneur business? We're featuring a bonus episode with today's guest, Seth Kahn, the founder of Visionary Leadership, where he shares some of the steps he has taken to quadruple his revenue. Join our free Smashing the Plateau community where you can listen to this bonus episode. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. The Smashing the Plateau community is the place where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life.